presentation of the trying to explain the title of this paper, the terminological difference was just a continuation, although 20 minutes do no justice on my key understanding of justice and reconciliation, because it uncovers that beneath the surface is a hive of activity which at first and quick sight is invisible, and the existence of multiple ways of understanding justice and reconciliation. It reveals that at the local level of the Kikchi communities, impunity, as defined by international law, is not the accountability, nor truth, recovery, or reparation. But before the goddess, first some quick background. So, in Guatemala, the Maya indigenous population constitute is the majority. Guatemala suffered the bloodiest armed conflict of the Latin American continent from 1960 until 1996. Counter-insurgency tactics were deployed, including scorched earth campaigns and the imposition of a village patrol system known as the Civil Defense Patrol or PAC, which resulted in the militarization of social rural life in indigenous areas. According to the final report of the Commission for Historical Clarification, the Guatemalan state was responsible for 93% of human rights violations, and the guerrillas accounted for 3%. Another significant finding is that the large majority of victims are indigenous Maya people. The Kikchi were one of the Mayan groups severely affected by the conflict, and currently they are the second largest Maya group in Guatemala. To address the broader research question, I conducted ethnographic field research over 20 months between 2006 and 2009 in three micro-regions of Cobán, which is part of the Alta Verapaz department. I have chosen to work with multiple data collection techniques to reinforce an in-depth understanding of the research question. So I conducted over 25 semi-structured focus group discussions with survivors, witnesses, and ex-civil patrollers in different communities, several linguistic workshops, numerous individual interviews with community leaders, spiritual guides, local and foreign people with experience of the war and social reconstruction, participant observation during community meetings, ceremonies, and daily activities. I would like to emphasize that when analyzing local, social, and cultural practices and attitudes of survivors, victims, and perpetrators coming to terms with the past, it's crucial to explore how they have locally and culturally understood the array of atrocities as individuals and as groups. This step back is intended to procure a holistic understanding of the forms and strategies survivors use to deal with the atrocities. In the case of the Kikchi, the victims and also the ex-civil patrollers use the term Nimla Railal, which when referring to the period of conflict. Nimla is large, and Railal means suffering and pain, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Nimla Railal refers to suffering or pain that is a result of a final loss, which implies a type of pain that cannot be repaired, it is an irreparable loss. The counterinsurgency measures not only violated human rights, they also transgressed social and spiritual norms established by the communities, which led to the breakdown of the Tuktukilal, which means tranquility, harmony, peace. Significantly, the expression Shejmush, which frequently appears during interviews, means they desecrated the cosmos and us as humans. This reflects the desecration of natural, social, and spiritual worlds because of the destruction of the holy maize fields and also all the crops. An important question relates to how survivors feel toward the people who are responsible for the Nimla Railal suffered. It was striking that during the interviews, there was always never a spontaneously demand persecution of the perpetrators. Once the interviewees actually start speaking about justice, they almost never express a wish to sue the responsible national or local authorities. Only a few people, leaders who have received training in human rights issues mention justice, yet it is not their first concern. Analyzing the field data, several reasons can be advanced to explain this. For example, still many victims do not know the reason for this conflict. But survivors raise the question, what benefit a prosecution would bring for them? If the intellectual perpetrators are in prison, they cannot help victims. Other explanations could be fear for the local perpetrators and also unfamiliarity with the official justice system. However, analysis of the interviews uncovered a more influential reason. Survivors know that those who bear the guilt for having exceeded that position and elevating themselves to the position by deciding between life and death, and they are paying for their faults in this life. Survivor describes as the blood and the tears of the dead and of those who have fallen down of those people. This reflects the meaning of a specific concept in Enkichi Kokong, the internal logic of the cosmos that through an invisible spiritual force fosters a new tuktukilal or tranquility. Given that this concept of Kokong belongs to a different philosophical and epistemological frame of reference, translating it and understanding its profound meaning remains complex. Here I would like to highlight that according to the Maya cosmovision of their view of the world, no distinction is made between the social, natural, and sacred spheres that make up the cosmos. Also crucial is the dynamic understanding of balance and harmony. A transgression cannot be undone as it is impossible to return to the original situation. So, the imbalance of social relations created by this transgression cannot be repaired, though it may be transformed into a new balance or harmony by instilling shame in the causer of offering him advice and guidance so that he recognizes his faults and asks for forgiveness. However, sometimes a person consciously and intentionally harms someone and does not acknowledge this transgressive attitude. This person will suffer kok once his deviant behavior reaches an accumulation. One unique written was found which described kok as pain or sadness that somebody or something feels for being treated wrongly and that will be converted into a retributive punishment of the causer of the pain or sadness. According to the interviewees, there has been an increase of cases of kok since the conflict. Kokong also affected chiefs of the civil patrol or commissioner who by jealous and enjoyment of power or pride exceeded their position during the conflict and caused terror and fear in the communities. Further, significantly is that all the elderly people attribute the failed corn harvest and unhealthy food not only to the loss of knowledge of rituals, but also to the crop of the mice and crops destroyed during the conflict. This indicates that there has been an extension of the concept to situations where an external power, the army, created a space when certain people deliberately and persistently could harm others. One of the narratives is that of an ex-commissioner responsible for a massacre nearby his own village, and also for disappearances of leaders in his own community, who became blind and lame 19 years ago. He rarely leaves his house because he can only walk with crutches and needs assistance and help with everything he does. Here I present a brief analysis of the opinions of the widows of both communities. In the paper you will find a number of quotes. All the widows know the man, where he is living, and say that he is now suffering. He is paying for his errors. Striking is that during the interviews, none of the widows of both victim groups demanded justice. They expressed the fact that they were not reacting because it is not their role to judge him. At this point, we might question the reason for the absence to demand justice. Kokong refers to and is related to prohibitions, and one must respect to maintain balance and harmony. If the widows actually respond to what the man has done, they, or one of their children or grandchildren, will receive wrong behavior towards this man in this life. So, the widows fear receiving retributive punishment for the suffering and pain that they will cause the man and his family by sending him to assumed that the internal logic of the cosmos, true for Kong, puts to an end the vicious cycle of human vengeance, pain, and suffering. The widows also stated that they do not hate the man and behave in good manner towards him. This expression, together with another expression, which means to bear fault and error, reflects the idea of reconciliation. These expressions are inseparable and they have an internal cohesion. The cause of the fault, or the pain, and the suffering, is the person who in first instance must bear fault. The affected person is the one who will behave toward and together with the causer of his suffering in a manner, after having accepted the fault. Also, the affected person needs to bear the owner's fault. The widow of his community talk with him and help him by giving him food. The fact there is communication again, food and the word or dialogue are signs that there is a sumatin or relationship because food invites the word or dialogue. Reflecting on the various narratives, similar elements can be distinguished. The protagonists are people who cause terror and fear in the community. Some have died in strange circumstances, while others were struck by disability, poverty, and so depending on others. Everybody in the region knows those who are suffering and all give the same explanations. They are in a powerless situation, totally opposite to the position during the conflict. The internal logic of the cosmos put them in a shameful position. At first sight, surprisingly, in the case of the blind and lame ex-commissioner, even his own victims are helping him. The presence of Kokong exposes the fact that the suffering or death exceeded the position and helps to uncover the truth and wrongdoing. It also has a reparative effect because survivors receive recognition of their pain and harms. An invisible space is created through which perpetrators reintegrate into the community, paving the way for reconciliation among survivors. Hong Kong not only attends an individual problem, it lifts the problem to community level. Hong Kong has interrelated functions. It serves to prevent transgressions, as it implies a prohibition that should be respected, and has thus an educational function. Once somebody is suffering Hong Kong, it has a retributive and restorative effect on the person. However, the scars left by the conflict will not disappear, as the survivor explains. But we will never forget the real pain, our deceased mother and father, because they will be with us always. It is like a thorn in our souls, it is like having a knife in our stomach. In the eyes of the Kichis, this kokong is like a scientific law. It will happen. And it is even a cultural equivalent and should be acknowledged. Nevertheless, a risk may not be overseen. The history of the armed conflict has shown a real jeopardy of manipulation and politicization of elements of Mayan culture by the army, and therefore this cultural knowledge can be abused as justification of the ruling apparently. Of more than the 600 massacres, only in 3 cases have those materially responsible been successfully prosecuted. It is necessary to clarify that this Kokong not should be seen as a response to the failure of state institutions to provide accountability measures, but rather to use the words of Iglesias in his work on Magamba Spirit Apostles for Mozambique, well-established local traditions of setting accounts with histories of individual and collective violence. It is clear that survivors do not wait until the formal justice system is rebuilt and or interventions of national and international actors are implemented to start the process of reshaping social norms, practices, and relationships for finding in a new modus vivendi. I would like to end with some reflections on the ongoing debate on the role of local approaches to a traditional justice mechanism in the transitional justice field. First, the integration of those views and mechanisms is not uncontested. Some of the debates appear to center on the qualification of certain practices as as traditional and on the meaning of that term. I think yesterday afternoon we already touched this debate briefly. I think that here contemporary anthropological views on the dynamic and hybrid character of culture and tradition are helpful in this respect. More specifically, insights from legal anthropologists studying legal pluralism make very fair terminology. For example, the Sousa Santos highlights the importance of legal hybrids, which are legal entities or phenomena that mix different and often contradictory legal orders or cultures, giving rise to new forms of legal meaning and action. Similarly, in the context of post-conflict reconstruction, Culverson and Poligny demonstrate that local groups return to tradition to solve conflict after mass crime, but also recognize that innovation is part of every culture's reality, and that borrowing and grafting ideas from the outside and reshaping all concepts to new experiences are also important local strategies. This should be understood as such and not romanticized. End of quote. Let me finish with perhaps the most pressing question of this research. What is to be done with these multiple ways of understanding justice, reconciliation, reparation, and truth in peacemaking and transitional justice policies? To the extent that room is made for accommodation of non-Western mechanisms to deal with the past, are we ready to acknowledge that these mechanisms may be situated in the field that makes Westerns decidedly uncomfortable, the spiritual? For those who originate from societies that have struggled to obtain secularism, this may be the hardest bit. Accepting the strong presence and role of spiritual and symbolic processes of dealing with the past in certain post-conflict societies and taking them as seriously as the Western credo of courts and prisons. It may be similarly hard for those whose mindset is determined by Western conceptions of international law to realize the importance of building transitional justice intervention on the local perspective.